Okay, welcome to Linux Lecture 2 for the ITE2 series of 2009. These lectures are meant to tell you all of the stuff that you didn't read in the notes or that you didn't understand in the notes, and to answer any of the questions you might have, plus some that you haven't even thought about asking yet. Just a quick recap of last lesson. We took you through the rudimentary usages of the editor ed, and we showed you how to access the online documentation on the Debian BaseEtch stable virtual machine. We also whipped through showing you how to find which IP address your Linux machine had obtained from VMware, and how to teraterm into said virtual machine. Today we're going to cover a mismatch of topics, as I think of them, and we will be working on getting you a little more prepared to potentially pass the practical in ITE2. If you don't already have one, we would suggest that you have a copy of BaseEtch Stable booted in front of you. And we will be working on that particular machine. I'm just connecting to mine. Or not. Oh, it helps if I boot it.
Yeah. That does help.
Okie dokies. Just waiting for my virtual machine to come up. The labs are written for Fedora, and you can use Fedora to do a lot of the labs, although the version of Red Hat that this course was originally written for, which is version 7, means that not all the labs work as you would expect them to. Okay. Now, a lot of you may be wondering, why would we use a line-based editor as opposed to using a full-screen editor which makes everybody very happy and mushy inside? There are some accessibility issues when you are using a terminal program under Linux, and I will attempt to demonstrate those. You should be at noddy@etchtest-dollar. And we were going through a couple of commands last lecture, which we will revisit, and we will also go through a few more commands, and we'll also play with an editor. Okay. Does anybody remember how do we find out which users are currently logged on to our multi-user system?
Is it who?
Yes, it is. The time is looking interesting on this virtual machine, but I'll track that problem down later. Okie dokie. Now, the other thing that is worth mentioning is if you want to know how long your machine has been up, try using the W command, which will show you how long the machine has been up and what the current load averages are.
30 minutes.
Did you? Oh, you must have booted yours up earlier, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You've gone a little bit quieter than you were, but I don't know whether, why that would be.
Is that better?
Oh, that's a bit loud, but yeah, something in the middle there. Okay. Now, as we showed you last lecture, you can type ls to get a list of files in your current directory, and you should have a file called test.txt in the current directory. Okie dokies. Now, there are actually editors installed on the Linux system that are text editors that are full screen. But I want to show you some of the pitfalls of using those editors inside the terminal program so that you've got some idea as to how they're going to behave if you do have to use them to edit configuration files. So what we're going to do is we're going to copy one of the system configuration files into a temporary directory, and we're going to work on that file in the temporary directory. So I'll just find a file to do that to. Okay, we're going to cd space slash etc. cd space forward slash etc. cp lynx dot cfg space slash tmp. Now, when you're copying files in Linux, it's always copy source target. Cp space lynx dot cfg space forward slash tmp. Now, remember that in Linux, directories are separated by the forward slash characters and switches to commands such as dash w, dash etc. Are put in with a dash symbol, as opposed to DOS, where directories are separated by backslashes and switches are usually done with the slash. Although you can use function 37 of int21h and change the switch character, but we don't cover that in this course under DOS. Okay, if we cd space slash tmp, Sorry, Samuel. Just getting rid of one of our previous students there. Okay, we should now be sitting in the slash tmp directory. If you do an ls, you should get a thing that says links.txt. Alrighty. Now, there are methods of actually editing this. So if, for example, we wanted to edit this with our line-based editor, we'll quickly review this. We go ed space lynx dot txt. CFG even. And you should get 139,827, which is the number of characters it's read in. Okie dokie, if we press 1 enter, we should see the first line of that file. And if you hit enter, you should get different lines of output as you press enter. Where are you up to? Are you stuck?
Yeah, I think I've got something.
Q enter to get out of ed because you've mistyped the file name.
There we go.
Ed space lynx dot cfg. Okay, so one enter should give you your first line, and hitting enter will give you subsequent lines after that. You'll notice that lines that start with a hash mark are considered a comment, and they are information for you, they're for nobody else. It's all about you in a comment statement. Alrighty. Now, say, for example, you yearn for a full-screen editor that behaves like Microsoft Word, and you really can't bring yourself to use a line-based editor because it's all too complicated, or the edits that you're making are a bit complicated to make. If you happen to do lots of substitutions on a particular line, so we'll drop out of the ed by going Q enter. Okay. Now, we'll use a full screen editor on that file, so we'll go, I should really show you VI, but it's particularly nasty, it is in one of the labs, so we will look at that at some point, but we'll go nano space lynx dot cfg. Now, what that's going to do is it's going to read you a full screen of text, and it's going to basically put that text on the screen.
And it's never going to shut up.
You can press Control to silence it.
Oh, mine isn't good.
What's yours saying?
Number, 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 over and over again.
Okay. Mine's quiet. Have you changed your cursor shape in TerraTerm? Because it's possibly mistracking the cursor. Go into the window menu. Yep. Okay.
Much better.
Now, one of the things you have to be careful on in this particular setup is that because you are using a terminal emulator, it does not behave like a Word document. None of your quick keys are available. None of your virtual buffer navigation is available. It basically is a big edit file that exists on the screen. Now, the reason that this is important is that to read the current line, usually your cursor will highlight on the current line, you're probably either going to caps lock I to actually read the current line. Cursoring left and right will read the characters as you cursor over them, and you can use backspace and stuff to edit those characters. But note that if you do a find command, the find command is only going to work on the current screen of text because that's all JAWS can see. It can't scroll it down like it would in Word or Notepad or similar. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that JAWS is not going to read all the time what you want it to read, because this is an edit field that is not particularly accessible. So if you cursor down, it should read the next line. If you keep cursoring down, you'll find... See how it's reading one line as you cursor down? Okay, so keep going down till you get to the bottom of the screen. Go down to the hippo.ru line, which should be about... If you keep cursoring down, you'll find that it actually reads more than the line that you're actually cursoring down to. Okay, so where are you down to?
Something about the start file.
Okay, have you got down to starting with the links.cfg file, links as a crude include feature? Okay, where are you now? Keep going down. What's your next line?
Buffer.
Okay, that'll do. Now, one of the things you'll notice is that you are currently sitting on the bottom line of the screen. And JAWS will read fine when you arrow down because the terminal is actually writing a new line to the bottom of the screen. However, one of the things to be aware of is that if you cursor up from the current line and you cursor up towards the top of the screen, it will read the current line until you hit the top of the screen. When you get to the top of the screen, when you cursor up, it's actually going to reread the bottom line of the screen because that's the new line that the terminal driver wrote onto the screen, not the line that you're landing on. Notice how it reads the whole screen once you cursor past the top of the screen? I'm just trying to get to do the thing that I'm talking about here. So the moral of the story is that when you're actually using a terminal buffer and you're actually using a full screen application, make use of your say current line commands so that you actually know which line you are currently located on. Otherwise, you're going to edit the wrong piece of text. If you are lucky enough to have at your disposal a braille display, they are very handy in these situations. Okie dokie. Now, there's all sorts of commands in the help window that you'll have to JAWS cursor off the screen or read the Nano Man page to be able to know how to drive Nano. And we're not going to go heavily into how to drive Nano at this particular point, although Gemma has come up with a configuration file for Nano that will stop it from reading the current line and column number. Okay, so if we want to drop out of Nano, we press Control X, and that should drop you straight back to a prompt.
Okay.
Now, if we want to open up another file to edit with Nano, we can go Nano, Nano space test. Now, if you start typing, it'll say modified H. I've just put hi, this is a test. Unless I've already figured... Is yours reading out numbers as you type or not?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's your full screen editor. So be careful of what lines you're reviewing, and be careful of what lines your cursor is actually highlighted on. So we'll drop out of the editor by pressing Control X, and it asks you save modified buffer. Answering no will destroy changes. So you press N for no, and it will drop you back to a prompt. Any questions on all of that so far? Okay, keep in mind that with Linux, basically the only thing that is going to get yourself in this stuff into your head is a lot of practice. So expect to be putting a few hours into actually practicing these commands as you would through the labs and stuff, and with practice you'll get some semblance of familiarity. Alrighty. Now, one of the other problems you can have in Ed, if we cd into our home directory, so we go cd enter to get back to our home directory, you should be at naughty at test tilde dollar. If you do an ls, you should have test.txt. So we go Ed test.txt. Mine says 53. We want to go dollar to get to the last line, because caret is the first line of the file and dollar is the last line of the file. And mine says learning is great, but that's okay. Now, one of the other problems we can have with our TerraTerm is if we go A for append mode, and we type in, say, hi, and we hit the backspace key, mine works. Does yours... Okay, yours doesn't say caret H? Good. That can be a problem. If it says caret H, you've actually got to go into the keyboard settings for... TerraTerm and tell TerraTerm to send a del character instead of sending a caret H, and that will stop your backspace key.
Maybe they fixed it in the new TerraTerm.
I'll just have a look. Now mine says transmit del by backspace key checkbox checked in the keyboard options. I'm wondering what yours says.
Hold on.
Yep, set up keyboard options. Alrighty.
It is now.
Alright, and save that.
Now it's sending the caret.
Let's have a look. Go. Just pull your headphones out for a second. Alright, let's go into your setup menu and have a look. Yeah, that should be... Okay, the reason that happens is because the settings are actually sent through when you do an SSH into the machine. It actually tells you what your erase and backspace keys are going to be. So leave that checked.
Because it was working before.
Yeah, but we're going to log out and we're going to log back in. So now I assume it sends caret question. Okay, Alt S for settings. Save those. It would have been quick to go up, but that's alright. Yep, enter twice. Okay, enter. Okay, doing a... Can we, you're not running the beta on there, are you?
No.
Can Can we just unload Quitter temporarily?
Absolutely.
Control Windows Q. Okay. Let's close out of that. Back into Terraterm, yep. You got to quit out of Ed first, so Q enter. Okay, Control D to log out. Okay, we'll relaunch Terraterm. No, Terraterm's gone. Unless you tell it not to, Terraterm will close when the last window closes. Okay, let's add space test.txt again. Okay, let's go A for append and put in, say, hi and backspace. And now it's working. Okay, so when you just plug my headphones back in because it takes more concentration to ignore myself if I'm coming out the speakers. Okay, so the thing that you have to be aware of is that if you telnet into one of those virtual machines, which is something that's quite possible to do, then the erase and the kill characters will not be sent as part of the protocol negotiation. Therefore, if you've got that keyboard setting incorrect, hitting your backspace key in certain applications is going to send caret question, and hitting it in other ones is going to send caret H, depending on how you've got that setting set. So if it doesn't work, toggle it to the other one and save your setup, and you should be all good. So, just a little troubleshooting thing there. Okay. One of the other things you're probably going to have to do as part of the labs and stuff is you're going to need to know the rudiments of how to install a couple of packages on your Debian machine. So, we're going to show you briefly how to do that. We're going to, at the prompt... Oops, I'm in the wrong... quit out of ed, Q enter. Oh no, dot enter to get yourself out of append mode, and then Q enter to get yourself out of ed. Has it let you out? Go dot enter.
Yep.
Yep. Where are you? What if you hit enter? You're hitting arrow keys. Backspace all that out. That's why your dot enter wasn't working. So go dot enter, then Q enter. Q, enter. Now you're out. The first Q, I'll just plug the headphones back in there. The first Q gave you a question mark because the file was unsaved. So the question mark was like, you sure you want to save? And because you hit Q a second time, it assumed you didn't want to save, and it dumped you out. So possibly a little terser than the are you sure you want to save my waste of time dot doc. This thing just says question mark. So a bit cryptic. Okay. Now, to install packages, we need to be the super user in Debian. Otherwise, we can't do anything. So we type su to become the super user. And the super user is the root account, which has ultimate power on the system. It's the administrator account. It's the head cheese, whatever you want to call it. So su. And the password is Debian, D-E-B-I-A-N. And your prompt should change to end in a number sign. I should say noddy at /home/noddy number, I believe. Okie dokie. The package tool for installing packages under Linux is a thing called apt-get. And it is the package manager for any Debian-based or Debian-derived distributions such as Debian, Ubuntu, etc. The first thing we need to do is to make sure we have a valid and updated list of packages. So to do that, we do apt-get /update. And you probably want to tap Control a few times because it's going to pull a few things down.
Space slash update?
Yeah, apt-get space update. Sorry?
I'm not found apt-dash.
Get space update. And you might want to go insert S until it says none, until that's finished, and just use your Jaws cursor to review the... Mine's almost finished. Now what that's doing is did that open up? Yeah, it did. This is actually updating the package lists to bring it up to date with what's actually in the Debian archives. Otherwise, there'll be newer versions in the archives than what's on your system, and it will complain. And yours should finish doing that in a minute. I think it's... Okay, go back to highlighted, otherwise your terminal screens won't read again. Now, if you were to go, and we won't answer yes to this, but we'll go apt-get space upgrade and hit enter. Mine is telling me that it needs to upgrade 69 packages.
Yeah. Some DHCP.
Actually, if you look up with your Jaws cursor, you'll find that there's a whole stack of stuff that needs to be upgraded.
Yeah.
Now, it's important that you keep your Linux systems up to date by actually installing all of the security updates and stuff that do come out on the apt-get in the security archives and things. We're not going to do that now because that's something you can do in your own time. The bottom question on the line is, do you wish to continue? And we want to answer the word no, N for no. And it says abort. Now, I wonder, I've just got to check this, because this is apt-get. Oh, it does. There is actually an Easter egg in APT because this APT actually has super cow powers. And if you can Google up, and this is something you can do for fun, or if you can't be bothered, that's okay. It will actually print up different pictures of cows in ASCII, and there are about three different pictures that it can actually print up. And you can find out how to get your APT to have super cow powers.
Why?
That's right. Now, the other piece of fun you can have on your Unix system, and this can while away minutes of boredom, is you can install a thing called Fortune. So let's all do that. apt-get install Fortune. And it'll tell you that it needs to get some archives down. So we go Y for yes. And we'll install the packages without verification. And down it comes. Yeah, just go Y for yes. It's just because you don't have the latest public key in there. Mine's installed. I'm just trying to remember how to get the super cow powers out of APT. Can't remember now.
Done.
Okay, if you type the command Fortune... Oops, sorry, /user/games/fortune.
No such problem.
/usr/games/fortune. Okay, you got a quote. Now, a couple of ways to re-execute that command, because what was the one I got? Okay, now, if you press up arrow and press enter again, you'll get another quote. Ah, it says, you will be told about it tomorrow. Go home and prepare thyself. Well, that's good to know.
I will gain money by an immoral action.
Ah, excellent. Apparently Grace is going to gain money by an immoral action. I don't think we need to know about that on lecture. Okay. Now, there's another way of re-executing the last command you executed, and that is by typing the exclamation mark key twice and pressing enter.
Someone who I reject today will reject me tomorrow.
Mm. Ah, what is purple and conquer the world? Alexander the Grape. Okay, let's move on with the let's move on with the lecture, perhaps. Okay, there are also some offensive fortunes that you can install onto your box. apt-get install fortunes-off. Fortunes-off. Okay, mine are installed. Okay, that's done. So now we go /usr/games/fortune space minus O for offensive. Now, I must warn you that if you are easily offended, you should not run this command. /usr/games
uh-huh.
/fortune
mm-hmm.
/usr/games/fortune/o Okay, now here's a star sign for you. Sagittarius, Nov 22 to December 21. You are opinionistic and enthusiastic. And reckless, apparently. Sorry, you have a reckless tendency to rely on luck, since you lack talent. The majority of Sagittarians are drunks, or dope fiends, or both.
Die of Sagittarius.
People laugh at you a great deal. Sorry. Oh, the snowball. Okay. No. Okie dokie. So, that is... Yeah, you already have ripped it out of my cable. I've already got the cable disconnect sound. Did you find the cable, or do you want me to grab it for you? It's at the back. It's plugged. A to B cable, Kieran. I've just got to grab this one. Here it is. No, I've got it. There you go. Okie dokie. Now, that is the fortune command, and that can be hours of fun. So we've finished having a little bit of fun for today, but you can explore the fortune command in your own time. Okie dokie. And we would just like to point out that if you're easily offended, please don't run fortune-o. Okay, any questions?
No.
Alrighty. The other things that we can do is we can look at how to install packages. And one of the packages that you're going to have to install for your practical test is a thing called Samba. So to install that, we do apt-get space install space Samba. And it'll want to download a few things. So we'll let it do that. And we'll just talk about it for a moment. Apparently it's going to take 20 seconds. 15.
That's one small package.
No, we've got a fast internet connection. We've got 2 megabits per second, so it's pulling down about 3 meg of data very quickly. Because more of us is pulling down Samba than we were, my time estimation has gone up to 29 seconds. Okay, now Samba is a piece of software that has been written by a fellow called Andrew Trigell, interestingly enough, and he did it for his wife so that she could back up her Microsoft Word documents onto a real server operating system because the Windows boxes that she was running them on wasn't particularly reliable. Not that we've ever heard that happen before. Okie dokies. When it comes up, it's going to ask you a question, which is the workgroup / domain name. I don't know whether anybody's got to that section yet. Okay. We're going to put in the word workgroup, all one word. And we're going to hit enter. And it's saying, do you want to use password encryption? And the default should be yes. Or is yours reading a lot? Okay. Do you want to use the DHCP server to update the WINS information? You want no, which should be the default. Modify smb.conf to use WINS settings, and the default should be no. The next thing will ask you whether you want to run them from standalone or whether you want to run them from inetd. I would recommend running them as accepting the default there because there's no reason to change it. This is for creating the Samba database. Yeah, we want to say yes. So backspace out the no and put in yes. And now it's going to set up Samba. And it's going to spit up a whole lot of messages. Now, this is going to be in your practical. Samba cannot use the Unix password database because the encryption format differs between Samba and it differs between Samba and Unix, so therefore Samba must store its own passwords in its own password database. Now, this means that when you create a new user on your system or you wish to set the Samba password, which is different to the Unix password of a particular user, you do it by using the SMB password command. So, for example, at the moment, the Noddy user cannot authenticate with Samba because the Noddy's password is not set. So we go SMB PASSWD space Noddy. And we'll set the Samba password to user. And we'll key that in twice. And it'll update it for us.
SMB
PASSWD space Noddy. User, U-S-E-R.
There we go.
If you do not set the Samba passwords, you will not be able to authenticate from Windows. If you do not set the Samba passwords, you will not be able to authenticate from Windows. Okay? This is going to be very important when you go to do your practical tests and you are actually setting up Samba. You will actually need to come in from a Windows box. Now, last lecture we were talking about whether we should have the connections bridged or whether we should have them NATed. If we have them bridged, you can actually get to the Samba shares from My Network Places. Whereas if you have them NATed, you actually have to use start run and --, the IP address of your virtual machine. Now that you actually have the virtual machine installed, if you go back into Windows and go Windows R /192.168. Well, mine's 241. No. Mine's 124. Yours is 241. 128. No, they're different. So put start run and then /// the IP address of your Samba machine. Of your Linux box, I should say. 41. Yep. It should be asking you for a username and password. So feed in Noddy and user. And you can even remember the password if you want. You will find that there are two shares that show up there. Oh, once you get to that bit, I'll wait for you. Okay, if you hit enter on Noddy, you should see a few files show up. Yeah, and hit enter on it. And you will get the you'll get access to the file from Windows. There are, however, a couple of things that you need to be aware of. By default, the user's home directories are shared out read-only, so you cannot save anything back to the virtual machine. You need to edit /etc/samba/smb.conf, and you need to find the line in the home section that sets the directories to be read-only and change it so that they're read-write. Also, if you are editing text files from Windows on a Unix box, you have to be aware that Unix uses carriage return to end... Sorry, Unix uses line feed to end its lines, and Windows uses carriage return line feed. So if you use Notepad to edit files on a Unix box, you'll actually destroy the line endings and you won't be able to use the configuration files. So make sure you are using an editor such as Notepad++ or NoteTab Lite, which does not destroy the line endings, so that when you edit the configuration files on your Linux box, you don't run into trouble. Okie dokies. Anybody got any questions? Have we had just about enough for today? That's coming up on your hour.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Alrighty. Well, let's stop that one here, and we will come back next week and do a little bit more on familiarity with Linux. Now, to remember, does anybody remember how to shut down their virtual machine?
Isn't it shutdown /-H?
Space now. And you have to be the super user to do that. And you will wait for a little while, and if you're running the Andre Lewis sound scheme, which I am and nobody else is, I don't think, you'll actually hear two clicks to show you that the first click will be the fact that TerraTerm has closed, and the second click will be the fact that VMware Workstation has closed the workstation window. So there you go. And then you can alt F4 to close down VMware. Alrighty. Well, hopefully somebody got something out of that one. And we will put that up on the site in a few moments, and we will take it from there. And if anybody's got any questions, please send them to KV Instructors or post them to the mailing list.